Well, amen. What a tremendous blessing that message and song was. And I trust it was a blessing to you as well. If you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and look with me to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And then 2 Samuel chapter 11. We're going to be looking at two different passages of Scripture this morning. And I think you'll know why here in just a minute. But two passages. Let me say thank you for your honoring me as my wife, as Pastor Appreciation Month. Is that what it is? I had no idea. I've been getting a lot of cards lately. I'm thinking, wow, you know, I don't know what's in, what's up with the people, but they're, I surely appreciate that. And I don't know if it's Hallmark or whoever else, but it is appreciated. And so thank you for that. 1 Samuel chapter 17, first of all, go ahead and stand with me if you're able to. I'm going to read verse 45 down to verse 49. And then we'll turn to 2 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and with the spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. Now, just a few pages over, 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1. 2 Samuel chapter 11. And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon, and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after this woman. And one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent messengers and took her. And she came in, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you this morning, what a blessing it has already been just being in the house of the Lord. Thank you for all who had the opportunity and took advantage of it and came to church services this morning. And I pray this morning, God, that you would just continue to meet with us. And I pray that you would empower the preaching and the teaching of thy word once again. I pray that you would use me as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Wow. Two very well-known stories, and I've preached several messages over the years on both of these stories. The Bible records these, and when I read and have an opportunity to preach on David and Goliath, what a hallelujah. What an exciting passage of Scripture to read and to be blessed by. And I'm shouting amen, praise the Lord. And then in my Bible reading, after a little while, I get to 2 Samuel, chapter 11. And I'm hoping every time I get there that it's not there. But it's there. And I read of David and Bathsheba. I'm thinking, David, what are you thinking? I say, this can't be the same David. And I would hope that David had an evil twin brother that said he was David, and it really wasn't David. But it was David. And it's recorded in scriptures. It's always there. When you're reading through the Bible and you get there, it's always there. David lived with the influence of God in his life. And David lived with the influence of evil in his life. And it's there for us to learn from, because all of us live our lives with the opportunity to look to God and be influenced by Him. But we also live in a world, in a sinful body, that's under the influence of evil. David was recorded by God as a man after God's own heart. And I say, yeah, I can see that in 1 Samuel chapter 17. But the Bible continues. It's there in the scriptures. That's who God was seeking after when he found and called David, because David was a man after God's own heart. And yet David did what he did. And I always ask, how could this happen? Then I look over my own life and I question, how could I have done that? There's times, and no doubt I'm looking back and I've seen the victories, and I've seen how I could praise the Lord and said, yeah, what a blessing to have the power of God to win the battles and defeat giants. And I'm excited about who I am. Then I look back and I look at times in my life. I didn't even know. Looking back, today I'm thinking, who was that? Yeah. God has recorded both events committed by a man who the Bible says was a man after God's own heart for us. See, the whole Old Testament, I think you can study in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, it says, all these things happened unto them, which was the nation of Israel, but it's all of the children of God in the Old Testament. All these things happened unto them for ensemples, that's living examples. And they are written for our admonition. They have been written down and recorded and preserved by God for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. We're living in the last days. The end of the world is upon us. And it's not going to get any brighter. It's going to get darker. The world's going to be even more dark. The darkness is getting darker. Evil influences are becoming more and more prevalent. And God recorded both events because there was two different mindsets. That mindset is a state of mind or how you think that led to David's actions. And the Bible records both. And I think it's there for us to learn from. And that's what I want to do. I want to look at both of these events and look at the mindset that led to each. First of all, in 1 Samuel, we find David. And David's mindset was excitement about serving God. Even before Goliath, but as a shepherd boy. Where he didn't have a lot of opportunities to impact the world, but he had an opportunity to live for God even as a shepherd boy. And if you look over in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 20, David was tending the sheep and he went to his father, and his father was going to send him as a shepherd boy to take lunch to his brethren. That's what it was all about. That's what he was going to do, was just take lunch to his brothers. And this is what the Bible says about David as a shepherd boy in chapter 17 and verse 20. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight and shouted for the battle. Yeah. Now, at this time, David had already experienced the hand of God upon his life. He had already experienced the power of God, and he had already killed a lion and a bear. And all he was doing is just tending sheep, but he wanted to be the best shepherd he could be. And he looked to God, and when the lion come out against the sheep, God enabled David to go out and to slay the lion. When the bear come out against the sheep, God enabled David to slay the bear. David did not understand what this was in preparation for. He was just excited about being able to serve God as a young person. And whatever opportunities that God would bring into his life, then he was wanting to glorify God, and he was wanting to do whatever God would have him to do and whatever his responsibilities would have been. And so now he's got the responsibility of just taking lunch to his brothers. And he is so excited about it. He can't sleep that night. He gets to go and cheer on the soldiers of Israel against the soldiers of the Philistines. And he went with a mindset of cheering on his brothers. And he shouted for the battle. Wow. God recorded that for us. He didn't find what he thought he would find, and there was an open door for him to enlist and go out and as a soldier fight the most powerful soldier known to Israel at that time. And that was Goliath, a giant of the Philistines. David, in verse 32, and David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. I'm going to enlist, I'll be a soldier, and I'm going to go out and I'm going to, by the hand of God, defeat this Philistine." He was excited about going out against him. matter of fact, in verse 48, the Bible says, "And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine." He was excited about the opportunity to fight Goliath. And he hasted. David, his mindset was that of excitement about serving God. He was zealous. You know, that's how God would have us to live. We take this over in the New Testament and we understand where David was at, and we see that that's where every born again believer ought to be, because over in the book of Titus, right after the 2 Timothy, we find Titus in chapter 2 and verse 11, the Bible says this: "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." We know it to be real. We know Jesus to be real. He came once. He gave us this opportunity to be saved as he paid our sin debt on Calvary's cross. He was hung on the cross of Calvary. He suffered and bled and died. He resurrected on the third day, and he left us with the completion of the Word of God, with a promise that he would come again. We have that. And so he says, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. David's mindset when he defeated Goliath was that of zeal. David's mindset was that of, with God, all things are possible. David's mindset was, God, whatever opportunities I have to serve you, I want to serve you. I want to accomplish whatever you have for me to accomplish with my entire life. Amen. And he defeats Goliath. And we're all cheering. And we're all saying, hallelujah. Yeah. Fast forward now to 2 Samuel, chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle. When kings go forth to battle, and David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Amnon and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. The Bible records when kings go forth to battle, David stayed home. David's mindset was not on the battle. David's excitement over fighting the enemy and winning the battle wasn't the same. His opportunity to serve God was not as important. Let somebody else do it. There was no zeal. Most of the time, we do what we shouldn't do because we are not doing what we should. Did you get a hold of that? Most of the time that we do what we shouldn't do is because we're not doing what we should. We've lost the zeal. Hallelujah. How excited are you about serving God? Has there ever been a time when you were more excited? Has there ever been a time when you had more zeal and you just, God, I want to serve you. I want to do whatever. Just open the door. Show me what you want. God, I'm there. I'm through it. I want to serve you. I want to fight Goliath. Something happened. Something happened and let somebody else win the battle. And he stayed at home. There was a time that there's no way that you would miss a church service because you were excited about assembling ourselves together, worshiping God, singing praise, encouraging one another, admonishing one another, and then opening up the Word of God and learning more about the God that I serve. But now you're maybe looking for an excuse. Not as excited about assembling ourselves together. I'm not excited about learning more. I've learned enough. Yeah. Whatever it was that led to that mindset that David had, it wasn't the same mindset that he had when he was able to slay the giants. And now with this mindset, he stayed at home, and because he wasn't doing what he should have been doing, now Satan opened the door for the devil to bring something into his life that would cause him agony, suffering, and pain for the rest of his life. We need to stay actively engaged in serving God. We look at another biblical principle here with David, and Jesus outlined it in the book of Colossians. Let me just read it to you. But in Colossians in chapter 3 and verse 23, it says this, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily. Do it zealously. Be excited about it. For whatsoever you do, do it heartily to the Lord and not unto men." I'm not doing it because of mankind. I'm doing it because I believe in Jesus Christ, and I know that there is a work to be done, and God has left me here to be an ambassador for Christ. And whatever doors of opportunity he opens to me, I'm going to go through them. Mindset of excitement about serving our God. Two different ones. The second thing we find with these two, the second thing is the mindset of glorifying God. We have an opportunity as Christians to glorify God and how we live. We can bring glorification to God, to Jesus Christ, by being Christ-like in every area of life. Let's look at David's mindset on this. Back over in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 46. Now he's getting ready to go out and fight Goliath. And this is what he says. "This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. And I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistine this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth." Why? That all the earth. David's thinking was, I want to give every person on this planet earth a testimony as to the glory of our God, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and he's the only true God. And I have an opportunity to have a testimony that to all people to know that my God is the real God. David wanted all the earth to know of God's glory. Yeah. Are we mindful of how our decisions will impact the cause of Christ? That's a mindset. If I do this, how will this affect the cause of Christ? If I do this, how will this bring honor and glory to my God? If I make this decision, how will it impact other people's mindset of who God is? I want to bring God all the glory that he deserves. I love what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians. Let me just read this to you. Write it down. I want you to go back and study this afterwards. But 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 12, Paul says this, "But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." Paul says, I am going to make sure that whatever I do, my testimony does not give occasion for anybody else to present another God, to present a different gospel. I am very mindful that I am to represent my God, that I am an ambassador, and I am to be Christ-like in every area of my life, because that's how I bring honor and glory to God. Fast forward to 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 3. What was David's mindset on God's glory? Verse 3, "And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" The servant of David that he had to inquire about this woman was trying to help David to think clearly. David, she's married. David would know that Bathsheba was married, the wife of one of his faithful soldiers, whose family had been faithful to Israel. But he would block out God and God's glory and focus on himself. How do you block out that you're a Christian? How do you block out that you should have a testimony that will bring honor and glory to Christ? Even a man after God's own heart fell prey to the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. Can I tell you that we must learn to rebuke ourselves? Because all of us have a sinful nature, and all of us could do the very same thing that David did, and we can convince ourselves that we can get by with whatever it is that the flesh wants to do, wants to get by with, and we'll live by the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, but you will not live and glorify God. The mindset. Are we all tempted? You better believe it. We all have temptations. What keeps us from yielding to those temptations? Discipline. Understanding of who God is. When you understand who God is and why you're here as a born-again believer, you're here to represent Christ, then you discipline yourself. And the way you discipline yourself is to learn to rebuke those thoughts. Because they're going to be there, even in a man after God's own heart. Proverbs chapter 23, and let me just read it to you. Here in Proverbs chapter 23, the Bible says in verses 1 and 2, "When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat, if thou be a man given to appetite." Did you understand? Put a knife to your throat if you're going to let this appetite cause you to do something you shouldn't do and let somebody else influencing you. Put a knife to your throat. Learn to rebuke yourself. Whatever you have to do, learn to discipline your thinking. Learn to overcome your lusts. Keep your mind focused on what you ought to focus on. In Matthew chapter 18, I believe this is exactly what Jesus was getting across as well. And when he says in chapter 18 of the book of Matthew, verses 8 and 9, and sometimes the people don't understand this, but he says in verse 8, "Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee," if it's going to lead you to do something that you shouldn't be doing, "if they offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into the fires of hell." Listen to me. He doesn't want us to cut out your eye or cut off your hand, but he's giving us a principle here is you better learn to discipline yourself. Do whatever you have to do. If you need to put a blindfold on, put a blindfold on. But we're here to glorify God. If you're saved, you're here to represent your Savior. We have to be mindful of our existence and why we're here and the importance of our life and our testimony. Make the difference. Defeating giants. Falling prey to sin. Yeah. The last thing that we find here in the mindset that David had, go back with me to our first text, our 1 Samuel chapter 17. The mindset of thinking of others. A mindset of thinking of others. When David went up against Goliath, in chapter 17 and verse 47, he said, "In all this assembly, all the other soldiers, the whole nation of Israel, all this assembly shall know, even the lost, the Philistines, shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and with the spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into," very important here, he didn't say "my hands." His thinking was not, this is not about David. He will give you into our hands. Because this victory is going to be so much greater and larger and more important than just me. It's going to impact everybody. David was aware of his decision to fight Goliath would impact all of Israel. Earlier he would say in chapter 17, verse 29, "Is there not a cause?" It was the right decision for all to benefit from. And if it was the right decision, it's in God's will, then God will strengthen me to be able to win the battle. What a mindset. He was aware of how what he did, the decision he made, how it would impact all of those around him. Fast forward. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 4. David sent messengers and took her. David, didn't you just hear your wise servant trying to warn you she's married? There was no concern for God. There was no concern for Israel. There was no concern for Bathsheba. There was no concern for Uriah. There was no concern for Eliam, Bathsheba's father. There was no concern for how this would impact David's own family. How can you be so self-centered? If it happened to David, listen, it's recorded, it's there. God, if it happened to David, it can happen to any one of us. You can't think that you have a greater love for God than David had. You can't think you had a greater heart for God than David had. No. If you put yourself in situations and you have wrong thinking and you fail to consider what you need to consider, your actions can impact multiple people. We live with both influences today. Need to learn what led David to make the right decision. Stay excited over opportunities to serve God. If you've lost your zeal, get it back. Because you're headed in the wrong direction. And the first sign of going in the wrong direction is your excitement about serving God. Assembling yourself together. Singing praises unto his name. Be mindful of glorifying God. Amen. I need to be aware of that. If I'm saved, then I'm to represent Jesus Christ and bring honor and glory to him. Think of your impact on others. For what you do will have an impact on others. Killing giants will bring us greater joy and eternal rewards than having to live the rest of my life wondering, how did I do what I did? Who was that David? He suffered because of that one night. His family suffered for the rest of their lives. Don't let that happen. Don't let that happen. Let's slay giants. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. In God's will, you can slay giants. You can win battles. You can impact others for the cause of Christ. You just got to keep the right mindset. Father, we bow before you. Thank you, Lord God, for both events in the life of David. Because we learn from both, it's the same person. God, help us to learn from him what you've recorded for us and live our lives defeating giants. Glorifying God, encouraging others to do the same. Bless now this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.